We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast as we launch into another exciting week of growing in the faith and ministering for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right here where He has chosen to place us for such a time as this. You and I are divinely placed in a divine timing for divine results. And so we want the kingdom of God to grow in a powerful way here in Brevard County. We want to take this opportunity to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. Right now, you might need them more for heating than for air conditioning. And so if you, over this last weekend, discovered your heater is not working sufficiently, give them a call, 759-3284. He can come out and get you up and working as quickly as possible, 759-3284. So lots of exciting things going on at Merritt Assembly of God, and we encourage you to check out our website to keep up to date on all of the things that are happening there. Our women have their Women of Worth meeting tonight as they begin their season of growth and ministry for 2017. We want to take you this morning to Isaiah, the 59th chapter, another phenomenal chapter in God's Word. And I'll begin reading today. We're not going to hit every verse, but we do have some truths that are shared here that we want to pass on to you. Verse number one says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch vipers' eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths, a way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and are as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. A great number of truths and a great promise there to end the chapter. And so I want to remind you one of the things that I've said a number of times on this program, and that is whenever you look at a passage of Scripture, if there is a concept that is mentioned repeatedly, it's God trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us to focus on something. There are two words in this passage that come up frequently. One is the topic of justice, and the other is the concept of iniquity. And those two things are enemies of one another. You cannot be a person of sin and still be crying out for justice. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What the world tends to do is they want to define the term justice, and justice is anything that is displeasing to them. And so if they have faults, if they have shortcomings, that's not necessarily considered a lack of justice. But if somebody violates something that they believe strongly in, whether it's biblical or not, then that is unjust. We see that a lot right now in scriptures, but or in our society. But justice and iniquity are they're at enmity with one another. They are hostile towards one another. Iniquity skews your perception. It doesn't give you an accurate image, an accurate reflection. I was looking at something last week, and as I looked at it, I remembered when I first encountered that situation, and I thought I had positioned things well, and now I look at it some 20 years later, and I realize I missed it by that much, you know, and, you know, a lot of times you think, oh, I just barely missed, and then you look at it and say, no, that's just not even close. So that's not exactly what we are looking for. So we want things that are accurately perceived and are just according to God's word. The angels are going to declare that God is righteous and just in all his ways. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is without flaw. He is without blemish. He doesn't lie. He doesn't ever make an error in judgment. He is always right. And so when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, it is not just talking about believers. It is talking about people who have rejected the gospel, and they are going to declare, as God pronounces sentencing on their lives, that he is righteous and just in making that decision. Now, I want you to know that God's preferred method of operation is for you and I to experience his grace and his mercy and to accept the salvation that is offered. Okay? He has built grace into his code of justice. He's willing to accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that is available through the shedding of his blood on your behalf and on my behalf. So God is very much a just God. He is righteous. He is holy. And so we need to realize that we cannot afford to be people of iniquity. So let me just point out some verses here that talk about justice in Isaiah 59. In verse number 4, it says, "No one calls for justice." Now, I remember having a missionary that came. He was much younger than I am, but he was a missionary to a very challenging region in the world. And I will never forget, there are certain missionaries who have made a major impact on me as they have come through. One missionary came through when we were very new to the church. He was looking for funds to go to the mission field. He saw the condition of our building, and he said, "Brother, can I take a day and come over and work with you on your building?" He realized that we needed help. And I want you to know that brother has never stopped. He is not only a missionary, he is a supporter of other missionaries. He is a believer that travels through very difficult regions and in a country that's pretty hostile to the gospel. And he ministers to pastors there. He helps them to erect structures that are going to serve as both a church and a home for the pastors that is safe from the very hostile climate that they live in. No one calls for justice. This missionary that I was talking about first, he came and he was, like I said, much younger than I am. And he said, "One of the themes that greatly affects young people right now is the concept of injustice. And they are looking for justice." This verse here in verse number 4 says, "No one calls for justice." It doesn't mean that they're not looking for things to be better, but they're not looking for justice on God's terms. Verse number 8 describes that there is a path or a lifestyle of justice. There is a lifestyle or a path of no justice. And whenever you and I choose that path of no justice, where we are just going to bully and intimidate and terrorize those who don't agree with us, which is if you go to any grade school right now, they are going to have anti-bullying campaigns. If you read the news, you will hear about the atrocities that are birthed from terrorism. But at the same time, those same tactics are employed to where if you disagree with me, politically, then there are people who, now understand, if you disagree with me, you disagree with me. I'm talking about other people, that if you disagree with them, then they are going to expose you to threats and intimidation, economic sanctions. In other words, there are tactics of bullying and terrorism that are at work in our society right now. That's not justice. That's manipulation and intimidation. Okay? That's not a path of justice. That is a path of injustice. Verse 8 says that it's a lifestyle that people choose of no justice. Verse number 9 describes that whenever you choose that path, that justice is separated from you. It becomes a very distant reality. In verse number 11, it says, "We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none." That there are people who are angry, there are people who are depressed, and they're looking for justice, and they can't find it. And it is because of iniquity. We'll talk about that a little bit more. The concept of justice, because it involves us changing our ways and changing our lives and doing things the way that God wants them done instead of the way that we want them done, it says that people have rejected justice. Do you realize that right now that when you reject Jesus Christ, when you reject his word, you are rejecting a lifestyle of justice? God wants us to treat others the way that we would want to be treated, not the way that is in the best interest for us. We need to treat them the way that we would want to be treated. Justice is rejected. In verse number 15, I want you to get this truth because it is very, very important that it says, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. A lack of justice, a lifestyle of injustice, is displeasing to God. He doesn't like it when you treat one group of people better than you treat another group of people because they wear better clothes, drive better cars, or are more famous than the rest. Jesus didn't shed his first drop of blood for the powerful and the rich, and the second drop of blood for the poor and the downcast. Every drop of blood was available. It was shed for the redemption of people of every race, every tribe, every socioeconomic status, every level of fame, power, and influence. Every blood was equal. Every drop was equal. There's a saying that says that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. It is where we all find equal footing, that we all need a Savior. So this is a chapter that deals with justice, and we can talk about that no one's calling for justice the way that God wants justice. They're choosing paths of injustice. They're a long, long way for justice, and yet they're looking for it, they're expecting it, and they can't find it because they've rejected the reality of justice and that this lack of justice displeases God. When you know that something is displeasing to God, let me give you this little tidbit of wisdom. If you know that something displeases God, it's in your best interest to stop it, to not want to have anything to do with that. So we're going to look at that. Chapter 59 is a great chapter. We're going to look at several things. Not going to touch on every verse, but I got about 13 different things that I have written down here on top of what we've already talked about that are relevant truths that have meaning and application for you and I in our lives. The first thing I want to talk to you about is in Isaiah 59:1. I want you to see the nature of God that is described here. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The first thing that I want you to know is that God's arm has not been shortened. His hand is not shortened. He was the Savior, is the Savior, is still able to save, is still in the saving and the redemption business. God's salvation abilities are not diminished in the least. As you are launching into 2017 and getting back into the swing of things, if you will, I want you to know that this is a year that you and I should focus on reaching the lost. We've got people in our church and they're saying, Pastor, I believe that this is the time where God wants us to be really driven in reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about strategies and things that we could do that would help reach the lost with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to know that Jesus loves sinners. He spent too much time with sinners as far as the Pharisees and the religious leadership were concerned. They called him a friend of publicans and sinners. He just spent too much time with them. They didn't realize that he was willing to put them in a safe place, but he wasn't going to stop until he had found that lost sheep. God's ability to save has not diminished. You see, his ability to save is not deterred by political decrees and laws that are passed that forbid the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, God's ability to save is not hindered by geographic borders. countries have tried. They have passed laws, kicked out missionaries, closed churches, and decades later found that the church had grown exponentially during that time. It doesn't mean that it was always perfect. It didn't mean that they might not have some errors and that they could use some help, but the church grew because God said, Jesus said, I will build my church. I don't know what you might be facing or in need of right now, but I want you to know, no matter how ominous the mountain you face or how desperately large the miracle you need may be, God still has the ability to provide, to equip you to overcome. His ability is not diminished at all. As we came to the end of 2016, we were out of church services and still needed a sizable amount of money to come in to where we would finish the year on a positive note. We were short with no more services scheduled. And thanks be to God, we got a little closer on Monday and a little closer on Tuesday. Not sure we got closer on Wednesday, but we got a little closer on Thursday. And then we got a little closer on Friday. I went to the mail on Saturday and we got a little closer, and but the mail had already run and now I'm out of mail deliveries. And we were still short. We were closer, but a little short. And somebody walked up to me Saturday afternoon and handed us a check that put us up over the top. And we ended the year on a positive note. And we're very, very thankful for that. You see, God's skills, his ability, who he is. He is the God who was, is, and always will be the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's abilities are not diminished. So if you need salvation for your loved ones, he's still the one to call. If you need healing in your body, he is still the one to call. If you need a job, he's still the greatest employment agency that you can find. He is the one that provides divine appointments for you and I. I've been blessed because for about the past 31 years, 30, and maybe even a little longer than that, God has been the one that has arranged all of my employment for me. I never had to go looking or filling out applications unsolicited or anything like that. God has been the one that arranged that. God says in his word, he will give you the ability to produce wealth. And so I'm thankful for that. And his skills are not diminished. Whatever miracle you are needing in 2017, believe that God still has the power to bring that miracle to pass. The second thing it describes here is that God's hearing isn't diminished. He's still got accurate auditory skills. He can hear you when you call. He hears people. In fact, he's got his ear tuned to your frequency. But I do need to tell you that iniquity is something that separates from God. And verse number two, it says sin silences our prayers. The thing is that you and I are not, it's not a lack of God's ability to hear. He still knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. And there is actually incidents in the scripture where it is proven that God already had the answer on the way before the need ever arose, before anybody ever cried out and saying, God, I have this need. I want you to know that if you cry out to him today, if you're a child of the living God, you don't have to do the drastic measures that the prophets of Baal and Asherah did on Mount Carmel during the days of Elijah. It's not about how loud your voice is, although I do like to pray out loud and I get dynamic with it. It is about communicating with God and saying, God, I know that you can hear me. If the Bible says, if we know that he hears us, we know that we've got what we ask for. And so today, as you launch into this season of prayer, and if you will join us as the church, as we are entering into 20 days of fasting, 20 meals, so one meal a day, or, you know, fasting for a week, or two meals a day for 10 days, or maybe you're doing a Daniel fast. You can find resources available that are out there. You know, if you're doing a soup and juice fast, you might be fasting the news, and you'll find your demeanor is a lot better. Whatever you are fasting, just be faithful to it, and know that as you cry out to him, that he's going to hear you. God hears his people. Elijah's taunt to the prophets who were cutting themselves, and they were dancing around, and they were going through all of these motions and trying to get God's attention. Elijah began to taunt them, and he said, cry louder. Maybe he's busy. I won't describe to you exactly what that picture is in the Hebrew, but it's a pretty interesting thing. I remember when my Bible college professor shared that with us. Maybe God is preoccupied. Maybe your God is preoccupied, but God is never preoccupied so that he neglects you. Jesus, when he prayed his high priestly prayer, he says, Father, I want to thank you that you always hear me. I don't say this for my benefit. I say this for the benefit of those around me. I know that you hear me. Folks, as we launch into prayer this week, I hope you're not trying to earn an audience with the King. The only way that you get that audience is by being his child. If you are listening to this program and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to change that, because you need a miracle worker in your life. You need an advocate who hears you when you call and he answers you. You need that God in your life. I don't know how you feel, but whenever I call a person and they don't call me back, it doesn't make me a happy camper. I encourage our staff, return your phone calls, respect people. And I know this, God hears you, and he is still an omnipotent God. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an ordeal.